I'm excited about the beginning of this month. As Ron mentioned, we are starting Mission Month. All of this has been put together by the Mission Committee. We'll get back to Colossians in November, but right now in October, we're going to highlight our missions. And so I'm here to kind of kick it off, and I'll talk for a few minutes, and then I'm going to ask John Howell to come up and kind of give you a good overview of what's going to happen over the next month as we kind of reflect on and look at what's been going on. So stand with me as we read from Acts 1. Acts 1, verses 6 through 11. So when they had come together, they asked, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes appeared to them, stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking toward heaven? This Jesus, who had been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Father, we thank you for this moment and this time. And Lord, we pray that our hearts and our minds are open, that they're open for your Spirit, that your Spirit may speak to us, work in us, and transform us more into your likeness. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So I've entitled this message, Don't Get Caught Watching the Paint Dry. But before we get into that, I will tell you again how excited I am for this month. Because as we begin Mission Month here at Grapevine Church of Christ, and over the next four Sundays, we're going to be hearing stories from partners and friends about what God is up to and what God is doing in various places, both globally and locally. We're going to hear from our partners in our community and the many things kind of going on in there over the next few weeks. And we'll also be looking at what's been going on in Nicaragua and Honduras in Central America, and then also what's going on in Eastern Europe and in the Ukraine. And in all this, we're going to kind of be looking at this, talking about this, of what's happening. And if you didn't get a chance, pick up one of these booklets that kind of walks through the next few Sundays what we'll be talking about, who will be talking. Also, you're going to notice there's ask in there. So all the ministries still need some things or have continuous ask. And so those are in there as well. And starting next week, we're going to have tables set up that if you want to bring those things for these ministries, you can. And also, you're going to notice that there's prayers in there, things that you could be praying for through the week about each of these ministries. And so we really want to encourage you to pick one of these up and kind of just, it fits perfectly in your Bible. So you can just put it there. And as I know everyone in here does, you read your Bible every day. You will open up your Bible and you will find that in there. And so I really encourage you to do that. This is going to be fun. It's going to be informative. And I think it's going to be uplifting. And so I really do want to invite you as much as you can, invite your families to be here every Sunday. And I know that can be a task. I know that we're busy, and I know it's Columbus Day next Monday. And for many of us, you get a half day on Friday, and that doesn't happen all that much. But be here as much as you can to hear about these ministries, to hear about what's going on, to hear about kind of everything that God is doing in this world. And I'll be honest with you, I know that Ron mentioned kind of tumultuous times. I think we all need to hear some good news. And I think this month is the month of good news. This month is the month in which we really focus on what the good news is doing in this world. But, and I know that word "but" is never a fun conjunction. It's never a fun qualifier. You know, if someone's like, "Hey, I like you, but," you know something bad's going to happen. But nothing bad's going to happen. But here is what I don't want to happen this month. I don't want us to get caught so much in the watching and so much in the listening that we kind of miss what's happening, what's going on. What I'm saying is, I don't want us to get caught watching the paint dry. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's this little movie called Hoosiers. Who in here has seen Hoosiers? Most of us have. Michael, I know you have. You're a basketball coach. You better. But there's this little movie called Hoosiers. And in it, Gene Hackman plays Coach Dale, who moves to this Nebraska town. He's a big coach, yada, yada, yada. But he moves to this Nebraska town, and he's starting to build this team up, this high school basketball team. And in one particular game, Coach Dell has been known to get kicked out of games. And in one particular game, Coach Dell gets kicked out of the game, which leaves it in the hands of Dennis Hopper, who plays the assistant coach, whose name is Shooter. So he leaves it in the hands of Shooter. And Shooter is kind of got this deer in the headlights look in the moment. The team is, of course, down, because it wouldn't be a good story if they weren't. The team is down, and it's up to him to call the game-winning play. And there's this moment as the team is surrounding him, and he's just got no words. He's got nothing. And here's the thing about Shooter is Shooter is one of the players' dads. He's an alcoholic. He's been struggling with addiction. This is kind of Coach Dell's way of, but he knows basketball, but this is kind of Coach Dell's way of getting him kind of back into society. And you see this kind of, he can't formulate the words. He's just looking at the players. And then all of a sudden, the boys start talking to him, just asking him, what do you think's going to happen? And in that moment, you kind of see this light bulb go off. And Shooter begins to kind of realize what he's in. And so in this final moment in the huddle, as he's staring at the players, he calls the last play of the game, the picket fence. And when he calls it, he describes to the boys, he uses this line, which I think he's kind of summarizing the whole moment. As Coach Dell's been kicked out, the boys are trying to figure out what's going on. Shooter's trying to figure out what his role is and what's going on as he's staring at him. And he uses this final phrase as they break the huddle, as he calls the picket fence. He looks at him and says, "Boys, don't get caught watching the paint dry." And what I'm going to tell you over the next 4 weeks is, church, don't get caught watching the paint dry. Don't get caught so much watching and listening that you miss kind of what's going on here. Because here's the thing, it's easy to get caught staring in the moment. It's what Shooter found out, is he's staring and the boys are staring back, expecting something from him. And our text in Acts 1, I think, speaks to this moment. In the first chapter of Acts, the disciples are with Jesus, and they're wondering and they're asking what the next steps are. What's Jesus going to do now? What's the kingdom of Israel, if you notice what they said, going to look like with the resurrected Lord? Because in this moment, and this is where I think we need to be reminded of just how big a deal the resurrection was to these first witnesses. In this moment, I mean, these guys are standing in front of somebody who has been raised from the dead. And minus Lazarus, who's going to die again, this is a pretty big deal. Jesus has been raised from the dead. That is all kinds of power, if you think about it. I mean, this is a power worth harnessing, and this is a power worth doing something about in the moment. And so you can imagine, this group had kingdom-building ideas. We see it in that very first verse we read of verse 6. "So is this the time you're going to build the kingdom, Lord?" I mean, they're thinking about how we're going to yield this kind of power. I mean, this is resurrection power. But here's the thing. The disciples say, "Is this the time?" And then Jesus speaks back and says, "I've got an idea about power. I got an idea about kingdom building. It's just going to look different." Because in verse 8, Jesus says, "You're going to receive power, and you're going to be my witnesses throughout the world." Jesus looks at him and says, "It's going to look different than what you may be thinking. It's going to look different than what you may be thinking in verse 6. And in fact, he calls them my witnesses. He says that your life will become inseparable from my life. Point being, you will look like me. You will be me. They are going to be called to a power to live like Jesus, but it's not going to be by their own power. If you notice in verse 8, it says by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says this in verse 8, and then verse 9, what do we get? The dude just up and leaves. Just like that, as Jesus says, "You're going to be my witnesses," boom, gone. I mean, he's here 1 minute, he's gone the next. They look up and he's ascending into heaven. And they're doing what probably all of us would do, as it says in verse 10. While he's going up, and they just gaze towards heaven. It's probably what we would all do. We would just stand there and go, That's a cool trick. Anybody know when he's coming back? I mean, here's the guy who's been raised from the dead, has been hanging out with him, just told him he's going to be their witness. They're trying to figure out what it's going to look like. And the dude just leaves. And so they're caught staring up in heaven, maybe looking at each other, thinking, hey, weren't we just a few minutes ago talking about plans? Weren't we just trying to figure out what the next steps were going to be? And their hero just gone. It's easy to get caught looking up. It's easy to get caught up in the moment, especially when that one person who has everything and has been everything, who is the face of the kingdom, is now gone. Not only that, he left in a pretty cool way. You got to give him that, as Luke describes it. And it's easy as we watch over the next four Sundays to kind of get caught up in what everybody is saying and what everybody's doing. And even at times think, I can never do any of that. I mean, his disciples are watching Jesus go up. They're thinking, I can't do that. I mean, I can't raise from the dead. It's easy for us, it could be easy for us to get caught staring and get caught thinking, I couldn't do any of these things these people are talking about. It's really great, but I can't do that. We can also, if we're not careful, just sit back and be proud of our work. Pat ourselves on the back. Rest on our own laurels. Hey, look at what we've done for the past year. This is pretty good. You know, give me a pat on the back and we'll wait till next October and we'll do it all again. That'll be great. The thing I keep thinking about is this is so easy to do. While watching paint dry can be incredibly boring, it can also be mesmerizing. How many of you have just been caught staring off into the yonder and someone has to go, hey, what are you looking at? You don't know, but something became mesmerizing to you. There's nothing to paint drying. All you got to do is watch. There's no effort put into it. There's no fuss in it. We can watch all of this and then wait for another year and see what God is doing again. And it's the same temptation the disciples encounter. And I like what William James Jennings says. He says this, as he, Jesus, ascends, the disciples watch. And here's the danger of watching becomes clear. Such watching can easily undermine movement and easily undermine the priority of the journey. Here's the thing. The disciples could have done the same thing. Celebrate Jesus being here and now sit back and wait for him to return. We read Thessalonians and see that's the thing. They're starting to sit back and just like, hey, he's going to come any minute. Not much we need to do because, you know, we're good. And so it's easy just to sit back and watch. The disciples could have kept the circle tight and talked about and remembered everything Jesus had done. And as one person wrote, they could have built monuments to the spot in which Jesus was, you know, resurrected, you know, put a little monument of him and says, like, here's this really cool event that happened. And they could all come to that, remember who they knew. But then that would be forgetting this thing. Remember verse 8, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to receive the power. Because it's easy in the moment that we get caught up in as we sit here and as we listen to forget that we're also called, those of us sitting in here today, to do something as well, to not just sit and stare. And this is where Luke does us justice. This is where Luke is the one who kind of snaps us out of our staring, who snaps us from looking up so much and getting so caught up in sentimentality or any of that. This is when Luke says, quit patting yourself on the back, because you know what Luke does? He gives us verse 11. Luke, who's pretty good at this, if we remember the resurrection, as the women show up at the resurrection, there's an empty tomb, but don't worry, there's some people there. In verse 11, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. All of a sudden, two guys in white robes show up, and well, they begin to kind of, they break the melancholy of the moment. They break the questions of the moment. They kind of interpret for us what's happening. In fact, what do they say? They say, Jesus is neither in the sky, so quit looking up. And Jesus is not in the grave when we read the Gospels. But here's the thing. Sometimes we need to be reminded of both. Sometimes we need to be reminded that Jesus is neither in the grave and that Jesus is not up in the sky anymore, but that Jesus called us to do something else. Why do you keep looking up? Remember, verse 8, he called you to do something. He said, you will be the witnesses. What are the two men saying? God is not done. This is just the beginning. Kingdom building is just beginning in this world. Because here's what Acts is all about when we study it. And here's what this whole month will be about. Acts is not about Peter, Paul, Philip, or Stephen. And this month will not be about individuals that come up here and speak. What it's not about a person. What it's about is what God is doing through people. That God is still active and working. Sometimes we need that reminder. Maybe that's what Mission Month is. It is our men in white robes reminding us that God is not done working and that God has a plan and it's still being worked out. So quit staring and start doing. Start working. Start moving into the calling. Because here's the rub. And here's where it gets to us. Jesus' ascension is more than just a cool parlor trick. It's the beginning of Jesus' witness to the world through us. That's right. See, with Jesus now in heaven, Jesus is before us, Jesus is all around us, and Jesus says, I'm going to use you with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Jesus goes from just one person in one place to now where? Everywhere. Jesus now says, I will be everywhere. The ascension is important for this moment for us to realize. It's more about just the one person who's sitting there. That's how we generally do it. Jesus is now saying, I'm going to use all of you. All of you will be Jesus to this world. Even if you forget, maybe you need this month for me to remind you that you too are a part of this. You and I, with the power of the Spirit, are now the life of Jesus to our neighborhoods, to our workplaces, to our friend circles, to everywhere we go. It is not just the people who stand up here over the next month. My hope it is over the next month, it is the people who stand up here who are calling you to see what you can do. As we listen and see what God is up to around us, that is our moment to recognize that God has called us to participate in such a way. So let Mission Month be, for many of us, the snapping out of it. Don't get caught watching the paint dry. Don't get caught watching the paint dry. The two men in white robes were the interpretation that God had called the disciples to do so much more, to move into a new future. And the rest of Acts, as we read it, is that future. The good news is they didn't do it alone. Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, and in his ascension, the Holy Spirit descended upon us. And now Jesus could be a witness everywhere. And that means you and me. And so I hope, again, that this month is the beginning for each of us. As we read in Luke 24, with the men walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're walking with Jesus, and there's this part in which Jesus is kind of opening up the Gospels to, or opening up the Scripture to him. And the men say this after Jesus is gone. Didn't we notice this burning, this stirring inside of our gut, is the word, this, you know, in this part of us? And my hope as we go through Mission Month and we see, as we talk about this, that we ourselves notice a stirring inside of us that God is doing, that God is pulling us out of whatever state we've been in, and that God is pulling us more into his life and his mission, that God is stirring us and saying, even if we hear people here say, I can help with that, I could do that, well, I've always wanted to try this. This is the month. The mission committee is ready to hear you. I know the elders are. We've got a whole world out there needing Jesus. And you're not just called to come in here and memorialize and be static. Look up to heaven and say, that's cool, Jesus. But you're called to look up and say, here I am, send me. And so the people who come up over the next 4 weeks, I hope, is that calling to you? Is that stirring inside of you? And that's what makes me excited. So don't get caught watching the paint dry. But instead, see where God is calling you to in this moment. I want to call John up here, because John Howe is going to, for the next few minutes, kind of describe a little bit about what's going on, how you can help, what you can do, and all that. So, John, take it away.
Good morning. You know, I never thought of that verse that way. That was a great insight to me. Here at Grapevine, you know, the missions committee is continuing a tradition of missions locally, internationally, like we talked about in Europe, Eastern Europe, South America, all over, as well as the Metroplex. And one of the things that we champion, one of our verses that we live on, is on the back of this flyer. It says, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creations. And go is what we are meant to do. We are meant to be goers. We are meant to be out in the world. Like Russell said, sometimes that starts with you at work, that starts in your neighborhood, and that starts in your community. And so as we broke out how we were going to approach Missions Month, we broke it into 4 weeks. The first week, week two, October 10th, we're going to hear from missions that happen in the Metroplex, that happen around us, in our neighborhood, and in our community. We're going to be hearing from Christ Haven, Journey to Dream, and Main Street. We're going to hear about the goals that they have for the future. We're also going to hear about the troubles and the struggles they've had going through the COVID pandemic. Each week, as we go through these, there are needs that these groups have. And we challenge you as a congregation to not just come to church empty-handed, but to come with the opportunity to bless these missions with one of these items, or to bless them monetarily. Or, I'll be honest, one of the harder things to do is to bless them with your time. So we challenge you, as you come each week, be prepared to be a part of this. We've also created a set of prayers that we want to be praying as a congregation for these missions. We want to be doing this in our Bible class. We want to be doing this weekly in our Bible studies, because there are direct needs that each one of these groups are trying to work in, or trying to be a part of, or trying to fix and trying to solve. So we want to be a part of that as a congregation. In week three, we're going to be talking about our mission work through Mission Para Cristo. And we're fortunate to have Mindy and Travis here. A little inside story, because I'm going to lighten the mood a little bit. I don't know if y'all know, but Mindy and I went to high school together. And if you can't figure out that God has a plan, the fact that Mindy and I were at school together in Abilene, Texas, at Cooper High School, and yet through each of our own paths, come to find our friendship again here at Grapevine and the work that they are doing down in Mission Para Cristo. It's just amazing the way God works in that. And so I've known her for a long time, and we're so happy to have them here. But we're also going to be hearing about, through Benny and Donna, the work that they go and the work that they started. That mission has touched hundreds, if not thousands, of lives in Nicaragua and on Honduras. But one of the things that you probably don't see behind the background is the conversations we have with the leaders of those groups to try to prepare them for the future. The mission team is looking for opportunities to make sure that that mission is a long-lasting and strong, ongoing mission. And we work behind the scenes with the leadership of these groups to try to put them on a path to long-term success. And so, as you talk about missions, there's a lot of things that you see. You definitely see the Kingdom Kids, and we've been very blessed to be able to grow in the amount of kids that we support. But there's a lot of things that you don't get to see behind the scenes that Mission is working on all the time. The fourth week of the October of Missions Month, we're going to be focusing on Eastern European missions. And this is something where we have Oleg and Eldar, Anya and Zinya, and we've been supporting those works in Ukraine. And also we've been supporting EEM through Bob Burkle and their organization and the great works they do. So we're going to be able to hear from Bob, and we're going to get some video updates from the Ukraine. And you're going to get to really see what it's like to be a part of that and to be a part of their congregations. The last week, week five, we're really going to focus on what goes on inside this church. And this is one that I really think is going to create opportunities for you to get behind. This is where I really feel like you're going to have an opportunity to volunteer, an opportunity to contribute. And this is stuff that is I think everybody could find a place in. Obviously, we have our Grapevine Christian School, and with Nan and the group and Aaron, the group that's working there, we're looking for opportunities to continue the relationship, for us to be Christ examples to those families, for us to show them love. And we're continuing to work on that partnership and grow the way that we're able to reach out to those people that are using this building, you know. And so that's one of the things that we're doing. The coat drive that Myra puts on every year and the amount of work that goes into that and the donations that you have, guys, they need coats. So be thinking about that. Hey, let's clean out those closets. Let's put a pile together and bring that up here to support that mission. Teen Life, it's something that Justin has been a part of and Sharon, where they counsel the kids. There's ways that you can get involved in that ministry. Friend Speak. Friend Speak goes on here, and I know Gonzalo is a part of that, and so Earl and some of the other people, but I want to take a minute and also say, because I didn't plan this, my mom reached out to me this week and said, hey, I've got a student that I speak with over at Skillman Road Church of Christ, and she wants to be baptized. And so, Russell, I'm officially asking you now, in 2 weeks, I need some time in the water, because she asked to be baptized here at a church because they're closer to here. And my mom has been working with this female student through FriendSpeak for a couple of years. So what a blessing to see how FriendSpeak is bringing people to know Christ. So we'll talk more about that. We got Regeneration that Ben's working with, and the group that's coming here to be a part of that and learning, you know, through the 12-step process how to change their course and how to better themselves for the future. And so we love that work that he's doing. And one of the things that I'm really excited about as well is this opportunity to develop this mission field. And you've probably seen, you know, out in the foyer, there are a flyer of what this pavilion and what this field will look like. We have a piece of land in the back that if you walk out it right now, you'd get stickers, you'd probably fall over. It's just not usable for much of anything. We are going to turn that into a mission field where we are able to minister to the surrounding communities here with around the church through sports, through facilities, through events. And so there are opportunities for you to get involved with that. We will be having a groundbreaking service at the end of the month as we talk about that. And there is also some funds that are going to need to be talked about and how we fund and we pay for that. So there's opportunities to be a part of missions. You might not think of yourself as a missionary, but if we sent Mindy and Travis with nothing in their hands, no money in their bank account, no food in their stomach to go out and do missions, they would have a very hard time of doing that. And every time that you contribute to our contribution here on a weekly basis, you are supporting groups like that. You are supporting our missionaries. You are supporting our friends in the Ukraine. You are part of the mission call here at the church. And so whenever I became part of the mission group a few years back, Ron kind of took me under his wing, and it was interesting. Whenever we came to this church, it wasn't something I had done a whole lot of, but I did feel called to be in missions. And Ron, I think I mentioned that to him, and that's all it took. Ron said, come on, you're going to be on the missions team. And so as I sat in with that group for a period of time, one of the things that came up was there was something where somebody needed some money. There was an incident where one of our missionaries needed some funds. And I said, well, what are we going to do about that, Ron? And Ron goes, well, I'm going to go around and just tap on some shoulders on Sunday morning. And I'm sure we'll, you know, find the funds for that. And so I said, okay, that's great. And sure enough, Ron tapped on some shoulders, and those funds were made to help that missionary family out. Well, as I became more involved and became the deacons of mission, through communication with our team, and we have a great team of people here, we decided that we needed a mission fund, that gave us the ability to help in a timely manner whenever those unexpected things happen. And so we created the Mission Opportunity Fund. We call it the MOF Fund, the MOF. But it's money that we can respond and react to quickly to the needs that come in through the mission field. So let me tell you some of those needs that we have met. We have filled Kingdom Kid baskets full of food. We've paid for Teen Life training luncheons whenever they are training new facilitators. We have paid for supplies for Journey to Dream whenever certain supplies were low and they were needing help. We bought 1,000 socks and FEMA blankets for homeless people through Main Street. We have sent blankets to the Ukraine. We have helped whenever EEM had a matching donor where every dollar doubled the amount of Bibles that we were able to give. We were able to contribute to that cause. We had some students from Christ Haven, which is a homeless group that takes kids and helps them create a path to success through high school and even into college. And they had two students graduate from ACU last year. And we were able to bless them with some gift cards to help as they start their journey down the road. We had a Christ Haven work week last week, or 2 weeks ago, and we were able to provide the meals for those workers that were out there. We fed about 300 people. All of those things came from this Mission Opportunity Fund. And so I'm going to tell you one other story real quick as I close, because to some of us, $300 is not a whole lot of money. To some people, it's a whole lot of money. And I'm going to tell you a story real quick. This is something that we received this day and a need that you helped us facilitate. And this email comes from Donna, from Benny and Donna at Mission Park Cristo. And this is in regards to one of their Kingdom kids. Dear John and Angela, I've received an email from our assistant coordinator, Amanda, in Nicaragua. She has made us aware of a challenging need for a student, Angel Moses Mesa, in Hinatega. Good morning. The child Angel is living in a difficult situation at home. I will be completely honest with you about him. His mother is a sex worker. She has two children. Both children go out to the streets to ask for money. They say to help their mom. We have seen them on the streets. We have talked with their mom, but it looks like a situation too difficult for her to handle. Today we found out that she's been put in jail, and we don't know what happened. The children are living with their grandmother. Do you think by any chance we could help them out with a food basket for the next 2 to 3 months? Donna sent us that note, but knowing Donna, she's bold enough to take it a step further and says, asking the prayer warriors at Grapevine to join us in this challenging situation and changing the family dynamics here. Are there funds available for $30 for food per month, for $150 for beds for the kids at the grandmother's house, and $100 for clothes? I sent this message out to our group, our team members, and got a resounding absolutely. Without the funds that you generously gave us, Angel and his brother would not have beds to sleep in. They would not have enough food for the next couple of months. They would not have clothes that they needed in this tough situation. This is just one of many. And so as we leave today, and as you hear, over each of the 4 weeks, there are going to be needs that you can help meet individually. At the end of service, Mickey and I will be at the back. And if you would like to place some money into the plate to go towards our Mission Opportunity Fund, we would greatly appreciate it. There have been donors that continue to support us throughout the year, and that's great. You can do that on the website through the contribution and the giving. Or if you weren't prepared today to make a contribution, in the next couple of months, you can simply write a check, put MOF on the memo line, and they will make sure that it gets to the Mission Opportunity Fund. But this allows us to respond in a quick manner to all of the needs of our missionaries and our missionary groups all over the United States and worldwide. So please support us in that. We are very excited for Mission Month. We know that this is a mission-minded church. We know God is doing great things locally. We are growing as a mission team and in our missions that we are supporting. If you have an idea or you have a passion or there's some area where you think we need to get involved, well, we want to hear from you, okay? We want you to come to share that with us at one of our mission meetings. We want to know about what that passion is and figure out how can we support that. There's a phrase in a movie where the guy says, get busy living or get busy dying. I have felt like we always have to get busy. We have to get busy living for Christ. And I challenge you as we go through this month to figure out how you're doing that individually, how you're get busy living for Christ. So thank you so much for the generosity and continue to support missions here through Grapevine. We look forward to having a great month with a lot of neat speakers, and you're going to hear a lot of great information. And we just thank you so much for your support.
What John didn't say was the benefit of Mission Month is you don't really have to hear me. at all, which is very good. But hopefully over this, hopefully something's beginning to stir. Move inside of you. I mean, I think about like the coat drive, and the reason we got the coat drive is because something stirred inside of Myra, who hates that I just used her name and pointed at her. But something stirred inside of her to say there's a need, and I think we can do it. She came to the church, and the church said, let's do it. And we did it, and it's been going on for a while now. So hopefully there's something. God is speaking to you in some way, urging you. And over the next month, I hope that is. And maybe there's also a part of you, for some of us here, who don't know Jesus, but over the last few weeks, the last few months, or even now, you notice a stirring inside of you as well. Maybe the Spirit pulling you towards Jesus. And we're here to help you with that as well. We're here to be that church that can walk you on that journey to quit staring at Jesus, but to get busy living for Jesus. And we can do that too. There's people next to you. There's elders here who can do that. I'm here to talk to you. The waters of baptism are always ready. But this is going to be a good month. So I encourage everyone to be here when you can be here. Invite a friend. Let them see what we're doing here. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. I'm trying to figure out how to close this thing. Sorry if you can notice that. But I just can't. This is a good month. So I hope to see you here. Let's stand as we sing.